Old shout, is it pound?
How you doing, lad?
I'm custy, lad. Put his button down.
Back for another enthralling episode of, what are we called? Two Tribes.
Two Tribes.
2002-2003 season.
Yeah.
How did the league table look this season then?
Well, Manchester United were champions with a measly 83 points, and they lost 5 games. I think that level of football is about to make a comeback, because Man United are stronger, Man City are rebuilding, Chelsea are just there or thereabouts, Arsenal appear to be on the up despite finishing 10th or something stupid like that. And Liverpool, you can't have a 97 and a 99 point season and follow it up with another 90 plus point season. I will stake my reputation on it. There's going to be burnout, especially in these trying times where they're going to have to try and compact a full season into potential lockdowns. But certainly a late start. So
yeah, I see what you're saying. I see where you're coming from.
But Liverpool finished fifth on 64 points. Arsenal finished second, I'm going all over the show here, on 78 points. Everton finished they won the Everton Cup. And they finished seventh.
That's the best finish for a good long while, isn't it?
Yeah, 59 points. Man City, Man City are about to go down, I think, in the next couple of years. 51 points, or have they already been down? They haven't, have they?
They've yo-yoed. Man City have yo-yoed from the Championship to the Premier for, what was I said a few weeks ago? The last 5 seasons, they've gone up and down 4 times.
Yeah, but soon they go down into League One, don't they?
Oh, again.
Yeah, but they go down into League One, and Sean Goater is a fucking legend and all that. West Ham relegated, 42 points, which 42 points would normally get you safely.
The gap between them and West Brom and Sunderland's massive, isn't it?
Huge.
West Brom were on 26 points.
Yeah.
West Ham on 42 points, and they still went down as well.
Yeah. And Sunderland, 4 wins all season. What a terrible, terrible 19 points they got.
Yeah.
Terrible. Terrible, I tell you.
Terrible. 27 losses out of 38.
Imagine supporting that. Oh, it's just like being an Everton fan.
Well, because they sold him. They obviously didn't replace Kevin Phillips. Was Niall Quinn still there? No, Niall Quinn went to City, did he?
I don't know if it was the other way around. I don't know if he went from City to Sunderland. I don't really know, maybe.
I don't know.
And frankly, I don't fucking care.
Yeah, we still had Julio running the ship. This is his third full season. He had his heart operation the season before. And he was bringing, obviously, his knowledge of the French game. This season, he brought in 3 French players and 2 Senegalese players who were playing in the French league. So he brought in 5 players, all with a French connection. Alou Diarra from Bayern Munich, Bruno Seyrou from Lille, Patrice Ludzny from Monaco, and the Senegalese lads, Eladj Diouf and Salif Diaw.
Now, this is after the 2002 World Cup.
Yeah.
Where some of the, especially Diouf, had a good World Cup. And
Diouf turned like the world beast, didn't he?
Turned out to be one of the worst, vilest, horriblest number nines we've ever had. I think he actually went all season, one season without scoring. He certainly gobbed on whoever he fucking wanted, whenever he wanted. He was a rat of a player.
Yeah, no, I don't think any ex-players have ever had a good thing to say about him.
We let Nicholas Anelka slip through our grasp for whatever reason when he was desperate to stay with us, and instead replaced him with this fucking hee-haw. Hee-haw!
Yeah. Going out the door, he let Nick Barmby go to Leeds, Stephen Wright to Sunderland, and Yari Litmanen went to Ajax. Now, if you remember at the start of this season, we had three games on the bounce where we drew 2-2 against Blackburn, Newcastle and Birmingham. And I remember this when I read it because I had I bet on the next game to be 2-2. So there was four on the bounce because everyone was going, it won't happen again. So loads of people were betting it. And we all fellas was like, oh, you dickhead, you waste your money there. That's not going to happen again. We're playing Bolton.
Yeah.
And it was 2-1 to Bolton. Yeah. No, it was 2-1 to Liverpool, sorry.
Yeah.
And then Campo scored in the 87th minute to 2-2. And I was jumping all over the place. I was calling, saying to my dad all sorts. I say, told you, blah, blah, blah. And then fucking man, what's his name? Heskey. Heskey went up a minute later and scored to make it 3-2.
And he was like, sit down, son.
Sit down. I told you, don't waste your money, son.
You wee canny bastard. When I was on me iron brew in Girders.
midway through the season, Liverpool had an absolutely atrocious run. They won only 2 games out of 16, running from the 9th of November to the 23rd of February.
Jesus. So this is Ulia. I think we come second last year. I'm fairly certain we come second last year.
Yeah,
so we nearly won the league there. And Liverpool, every time they've nearly won the league since like 89, 90 and all that palaver, the wheels tend to always come off the year after.
Yeah.
And so we'll see that. We've seen it under Roy Evans. We've seen it under Ulia. And I think we see it under Rafa as well later. And I think Brendan Rodgers as well. So,
this year.
Well, we haven't had the season yet.
We haven't finished second last season. No, we've just won it.
Oh my God, we've broke the hoodoo. How camp was that? Oh my God.
Oh my God, you're nice.
Fucking hell, and that.
So, the hoodoo's been broke.
Have you got anything else before we go on to the first derby, a Christmas derby?
22nd of December 02.
Yep, so this is a Christmas number one in the song as well. Liverpool versus Everton, 22nd of December 02. Graham Poole, which he seems to be still a... Was he a referee recently? He's certainly still on the telly.
Yeah. They use him as an expert, don't you know? Ooh, what? Let's go to Graham and see what he would have done. But it's weird having him on because he never goes against the referees.
No, the referees.
Code, innit?
Yeah. They kill him in his bed. Yeah. 44,025. Liverpool 0. Everton 0. You're not going to see Everton win at Anfield this century, mate. So every time it's a draw, if I say nil. Chris Kirkland, Arisa, Traore, Hensho, Hippier, Carragher, Diaw, Gerrard, Murphy, Barros and Owen. So there's some European Cup winners in that team. Wright, Pistone, Weir, Stubbs. I always liked Alan Stubbs because of Charlie, who I used to work with. God rest his soul. Tony Ibbett, Gary Naismith, Lee Carsley. I had beef with him. Gravison, Pembridge, Kevin Campbell, and Radzinski. And this, I can't find this game. It seems to be a thing every time now. Can't find this game on YouTube. Yeah. So it's not in the show notes. But we got Buchans, three Buchans, Traore, Henshaw and Carragher. And they had four Buchans, Graveson, Weir, Campbell and Naismith.
Yeah.
So it was a potentially a dirty derby. I don't know what mood Graham Poole was in when he was given these yellow cards. Might have been farting too close to him. But Wayne Rooney is on the bench for Everton. With Steve Watson. Don't know who he is. And we've got Smeetje and Heskey on our bench.
Steve Watson went to Newcastle, didn't he? Is that Steve Watson?
Oh, Newcastle okay.
The only story I've got on this, well, not so much this game, but the following game. The Boxing Day game against Blackburn was the last game I went to watch with my old fella.
Oh. What was the score? We got beat.
No, it was 1-1.
Oh.
It was his birthday. It was his Christmas present.
Oh my God!
To go into the Reds lounge.
I remember that.
Yeah, we paid to go into the Reds lounge, and he bet on Risa first goal scorer because in the Reds lounge the bookies in there, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
So I think he must put like a tenner on Risa. Yeah, and it came in. Risa scored first.
Yeah, that ale will be on me tonight, son.
Yeah, so he won. I think it was Andy Cole scored the equaliser. Top of my head, might be wrong. I might be imagining that. So it was at number one when this game was kind of getting played. This poor draw.
Well, this is where me playlist is now starting to just become dross, basically.
Like bubblegum pop.
Yeah. So it was. Sorry seems to be the hardest word. By Blue, featuring Elton John. Oh. One week at number one, it was the Christmas number one. Now, before that, the week before that, Lose Yourself, Eminem. What a song that is to put in the playlist.
But yeah.
It's not going in.
We've had this conversation.
Yeah, whatever. Where? So, even after it, Sound of the Underground by Girls Aloud. Now that
I'd let you put that one in.
Exactly. So that must have been the pop idol single got kept off number one by Blue, and it come or they released it, because didn't Simon Cowell always try and get the Christmas number one for years?
Yeah.
So.
Well, he did, didn't he?
Yeah.
He monopolised the Christmas number one, didn't he? Until that's Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah, you can find out all about Christmas number ones on our new It's Christmas podcast, which I have to say, I am absolutely loving.
It is dead good going back to picking, like we do a random choice of a year, and then we research that year and come back the following week and talk about everything that went on during Christmas Day that year.
Yeah, the last one we did was 54, which was eye-opening. Really interesting. And the next one is 1981.
Yeah. So when do you think, 54, we both sort of like groaned and went, oh my God, this is going to be a ball. Like, this is going to be hard finding research on this. But a lot more interesting than what I thought.
Yeah. Learning. Always learning. The album that was number one, it spent 7 weeks at number one. 53 weeks in the top 100. It's quite a nice little album, actually. It's one of the last ones that I actually bought, I think. Escapology by Robbie Williams.
Oh, yeah.
So, I have been listening to these albums now that we're doing a bit of this album work on the side, just to pad out my knowledge a little bit. And every time I put this on while I'm in the kitchen, I'll go outside with a cup of tea in my teapot and Kerry walks into the kitchen and turns the music off. No bad.
I thought she was partial to a bit of a Robbie.
She's not partial to music in general.
Oh, right, okay.
So, there you go.
So what was the other derby? What date was that?
The 19th of April 2003. Everton 1, Liverpool 2. Now, this is in the show notes, and I've just watched this on YouTube. Paul Durkin was the ref. Yeah. 40,162 people turned up to watch this. It is a extremely dirty game.
Nice.
There's tackles flying in left, right, and centre. Michael Owen scores in the 30th minute. Let's give you the teams. Dudek, Riise, Traore, Carragher, Biscan, Gerrard, Haman, Murphy, Barros, Heskey and Owen, which was a good pair-up. I liked them too.
Yeah.
Richard Wright, Unsworth, Steve Watson, David Weir, Alan Stubbs, Gary Naismith, Joseph Yobo, Carsley, Graveson, Campbell and Wayne Rooney get to start. Duncan Ferguson's on the bench. He come on for Steve Watson, 68 minutes, obviously trying to get the win. Scott Gemmell come on for Graveson, 75. We put Diaw on for Biscan and then Diouf on for Barros.
Yeah.
So like I say, it was 2-1 to Liverpool. Michael Owen 30 minutes. Unsworth penalty. Carragher takes, I think it was Unsworth he took out. Clear penalty, 58 minutes. Danny Murphy with a screamer, 63 minutes. Top corner, in off the post.
Yeah.
Banging goal. We had Gerrard and Haman booked on the 20th minute. Barros on 45 minutes. Everton had Graveson 21, Naismith 41, Stubbs 45, Weir 45, Weir 81, another a second yellow, red card. Naismith 90, second yellow. Oh no. Oh, he either gets booked twice, but he, whatever. Oh no, there he is, yeah. 41 minutes and then yellow card on 90th, red card.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they ended up with nine men, the last 9 minutes, and then the last minute with nine men. So it was a dirty, dirty game. But it's a one where Liverpool are obviously victorious with another screamer.
You would have if he didn't score normal goals, did he?
No, he's fucking scored some peaches. If we were doing a Man United podcast, Danny Murphy's getting...
He'll get mentioned every week.
Oh, someone's having a fire and we've got the patio doors open. Bastards. So, the song is Make Love, spelt L-U-V, by Room 5, featuring Oliver Cheatham. Do you know it?
I think it was a dance song, that, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was like a dancey tune.
Yeah, so it gets the playlist back on track. I'm expecting good things from next season. Okay. So as this, the playlist that we have is available on the show notes, Apple Music, Spotify, and now YouTube.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So click on the link.
Don't have a listen.
And the album, I have to say, I haven't had a chance to listen to this one yet. I don't know much about them. Elephant, White Stripes, 2 weeks at number one, this was one of them, and 54 weeks in the top 100. Elephant, White Stripes. Does that do anything for you?
Yeah, I've heard of them, and I know at the time anyone who was knew anything about music was listening to White Stripes. I personally wasn't. I couldn't tell you what they sung. Probably if the song came on, I'd know it because I listened to a lot of radio and that. But no, I never bought the album. Couldn't tell you what they sung.
Yeah, I'd struggle, I think. Although, there's a girl and a boy on the front. I don't know if I don't even know anything about the White Stripes, I'll be honest with you. I don't know if it's a gang of cheaters or maybe a banana and a grape with a bongo drum. I don't know.
Cheaters have got spots, not stripes.
Oh, man. Fucking hell, my head's battered now. So, yeah, there you go.
All right. Well, sticking to the music theme, the Brits in 2003 was hosted by Davina McCall. She's on everything now, isn't she? Yeah. Just, Davina's like, if you need something hosting, she's on Fast Dial.
I'll do it.
The British solo artist of the year, the British male solo artist, was our Robbie.
Again.
The British solo female artist was Miss Dynamite. Remember her?
No.
Miss Dynamite.
Is that what she sung?
Yeah. That's wow. In the line, I know. Liberty X was the song of the year, the single of the year. Just a little bit. The British album was Coldplay's A Rush of Blood to the Head. And the best newcomer was Little Will Young.
Oh, I love Will Young.
Sports Personality of the Year was won by Johnny Wilkinson. Clive Woodward won the Coach of the Year, and the England Rugby Union team won the, obviously the Team of the Year for winning the World Cup.
Where were you? Did you watch it?
I've never, ever, ever been a fan of rugby.
Neither have I.
I did watch this.
So did I.
I don't understand the rules. I've never been a rugby person. When at our school, we've always been a football school. So when a substitute teacher came and he said, right, we're going to do rugby, we all stood our ground and said, no, we're not, we're playing football. We went, no, we're going to give rugby a go. No, we're not, we're playing football. I just didn't understand the rules. I mean, the size of me, I should have been a rugby player.
You'd be a good rugby player.
But no, football was my thing, so I've never been to rugby. But I got swept along with all the euphoria of the game, of the while it was progressing.
Yeah, me too. And
yeah, really enjoyed it.
I think I was working. I was at Kirkdale Train Crew Depot because it was a morning kickoff, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And I watched it in the morning, I think. I'm sure it was morning. But I was definitely in the depot anyway, on the depot telly.
So well-deserved personality of the year. Martina Navratilova won the Lifetime Achievement Award in 2003.
Deservedly so.
Cracking.
Tits. Ass. What?
Asses. Asses. Dirty mind. Yeah, she was great. And then Steffi came along and took her throne, didn't she?
Battered her.
Steffi Graf.
Yeah.
Battered all over the place. Movies, what we're watching in 2003 at the movies. Top five, from five down to one in the box office. Number five, Bruce Almighty.
Classic.
Number four, The Matrix Reloaded.
Classic. Underrated.
Lord of the Rings, Return of the King.
Oh, Monge 2.
And Pirates of the Caribbean, Curse of the Black Pearl.
I have a fondness for the pirate movies.
I never knew, probably I'm the only person that didn't know, that the film was based on the ride. Is that right?
That's Disney. Right. That is right. Yeah. And they retrofitted Johnny Depp into the ride. Because the ride basically tells a story of looting and pillaging in a local village. So it's quite easy to retro and write a script. And if you watch the first pirate film, there's a lot of scenes from the ride in the film, like the dog is sitting there with the keys in his mouth.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the pirates are like, come on, come here. Well, that's actually...
That blew my mind the first time I heard that, because obviously every other ride, probably every other ride in the park, is based on a film or a TV series or whatever.
Well, what else will blow your mind is there's a Tower of Terror movie.
Yeah, I know that.
Based on the ride.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. And that's got... Oh, we were... The Goose? Who's the Goose?
Well, isn't the... Well, hold on. Isn't the Tower of Terror Twilight Zone?
Yeah, but they made it into a movie with the fella off Police Academy.
Steve Guttenberg.
Yes, yeah, I think so. I think that's him. But it only come out in Japan or somewhere like that. It's dead hard to get. Then they did a country-based jamboree movie, which that was a ride, but it also was a selection of albums in the 70s. because it's the Bears singing the Country Bear Jamboree. That was made into a film. And then the worst one of the lot was The Haunted Mansion.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that with Eddie Murphy.
Yes. So obviously The Haunted Mansion would come first. And that sort of, I think, put the death nail into them retro doing that type of shit.
Yeah.
Because that one could have been phenomenal because that's my favourite ride in the world.
Well, I've heard recently that The Haunted Mansion, so many people over the years have scattered their beloved ashes in there.
Yeah.
So they reckon there's so many prop ghosts in there now. And apparently there's always a little lad that's on the front car that's looking behind him, and it's a ghost.
That's, yeah. Well, I mean, they just get vacuumed up to be, basically, they throw their ashes out, and the staff just vacuum them up. But there's also...
I hope no one's listening who's took the mum and dad's ashes to Haunted Mansion.
Well, I'd love to...
In the middle of a fucking Henry Hoover now.
Yeah. Well, I think they do nice. I think they probably hoover it up and then go and put it on the Rose Garden or something in the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah.
But Johnny's full of fucking honky tonk because it's a dark ride. All that type of stuff. People shooting up.
Yeah.
You know, everything like that going on in there. But yeah, so go ahead, crack on. Crack on, lad.
Okay, so number one movie of the year.
I loved it.
Disney film.
Oh.
2003.
Oh. No idea. Finding Nemo.
Finding Nemo.
Yeah, it's all right. I don't mind that one, to be fair.
Now, these weren't in the top five, but what a year for movies, releases. Three fantastic Christmas movies straight away. Obviously, they come out around Christmas time, so they didn't get the footfall to make the top five. But Elf,
yeah,
Santa,
yeah,
Love Actually,
Elf classic, Bad Santa hilarious, Love Actually overrated.
It's still a Christmas, still rated a Christmas film though, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
But... Kill Bill,
oh, yeah.
Lord of the Rings, Two Towers.
Oh.
Too Fast, Too Furious.
Oh.
Freddy versus Jason.
We've seen that. We've walked through that house, mate. I've never seen Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Apparently that one, 2003, shit. But
it wasn't great, yeah.
I've never seen the original.
And a special mention for one of your favourite films that probably no one else has ever heard of. What was it called? Bubba Ho-Tep.
Oh, Bubba Ho-Tep, yeah.
What was released this year.
Wow.
You've told me about this so many times and I still haven't seen it.
Oh my
God. I think you've even lent me the DVD and I still haven't watched it.
Oh my God, that's what did you lend me that I had for about 2 years? Oh, Breakfast Club. And then I watched it on Netflix just to piss you off. Still didn't use the DVD, knobhead.
That Bubba Ho-Tep. What is it? He's Elvis has gone into cover or undercover?
No, Elvis wants some time out from being Elvis. So signs a contract with an Elvis lookalike to do a swap. And then the Elvis lookalike dies when he's supposed to be playing Elvis. And Elvis falls off a stage because he's doing Elvis impersonator work and breaks his hip. And then is. All the details of the swap go up in flames, so no one believes him, and he ends up in a nursing home. And but I kind of want, and then, but he's with, oh God, who's the famous black actor who's always the president?
Morgan Freeman.
I'm sure it's Morgan Freeman, and he thinks he's the president of the United States, but he's like, again, I can't remember what president he is, but he's somebody like JFK. And then an evil Egyptian mummy comes along and starts sucking the souls of the pensioners out of their arseholes.
See, every time you talk about this movie, I think, I'm going to have to watch it. And I've never, ever got around to it. You must have told me 15, maybe even 20 years ago to watch it.
Yeah.
Well, no, it would have been 20 years ago,
because
it was in 2003.
It'd be a good Halloween Horror Nights house.
Yeah.
I kind of want to watch it now.
Right, TV special things that happened at 2003. The Shopping Channel started Price Drop TV.
Oh.
I was hooked on that for years.
Yes, you
I
were.
Got so much crap off that.
Yeah, you did.
It's come down to £5, my God. And it was only worth like £3.
I remember.
Got so much shite off that channel. Phil Tufnell wins the second series of Celebrity Get Me Out of Here. Alex Parks wins the second series of Fame Academy. Little Britain starts 2003. Its first episode with Tom Baker narrating. David Williams and Matt Lucas. And then ending this year was Brookside, SMTV, Smack the Pony, Pop Idol, The Office, and Scylla's Blind Date.
No,
they all ended. All ended in 2003.
And some of them have come back in various different ways, haven't they?
Well, like, Blind Date's
back, isn't it?
What's his face brought that back, didn't he, mate?
With the big teeth.
The Birkenhead fella. Oh, the one who used to be dressed up in drag. Oh, my God, what's his name?
Yeah.
He's doing the dog programs now.
Yeah.
Oh, his name's escaped me.
Oh, my God. Lily Savage.
Paul O'Grady.
Yes. Fucking hell, mate. That was hard work, wasn't it?
Cool. Have you ever watched the American Office?
No. But
that's with Steve Carell, isn't it?
Yeah. I've always wanted to.
I've always been intrigued, but I've never got around to watching it. By all accounts, I've heard a lot of people saying it's good. News this year, obviously the main news is Iraq, so I'm going to skip over that. Don't want to talk about fucking Iraq. The Girls Aloud member, Cheryl Tweedy, remember this? She's involved in an altercation in a nightclub toilet with the attendants, and she's charged with racially aggravated assault after allegedly calling her a jigaboo.
Oh.
And she's also charged with actual bodily harm.
She got done for it as well, didn't she?
Yeah.
So she was guilty as charged.
Guilty as charged. Space Shuttle Columbia disaster. On February the 1st, 7 crew members are tragically killed when the shuttle disintegrates on entry. That's over Texas. Did it? I think they were up there for 2 weeks, weren't they? After its maiden flight, 1969, Concorde's final journey happens in 2003. Off to the scrapyard. the highest temperature ever recorded in the UK is in this year, 38.5 degrees, 101.3 Fahrenheit. That's in Kent.
No way.
That was a nice summer holiday. The highly infectious disease SARS spread from China, Singapore, and Vietnam throughout the world, infecting over 9,000 people in 15 countries, killing over 800 people. I was on the xylophone again.
You just give out some fucking horrific news. And Ho Chi Minh in the corner. It's just got his fucking. It's just got his xylophone out. That was classic.
Arnold Schwarzenegger is elected governor of California. And here's one you'll be particularly interested in. You love your Apple. Apple launches iTunes, selling over 10 million songs in the first 4 months.
Well, look where we are now. Look where we are now.
You buy all your music and movies on Apple, don't you?
Well, less and less. I'm on Apple Music, so I paid a subscription, the streaming subscription. And
you bought a lot of stuff there, didn't you?
I did. I bought all my country and western stuff. Because to buy one song, 79p, yep, I'll have that one. Like that, you know, just the way it is, isn't it? Just the way it is.
Leaving us this year, We had a couple of notable deaths. Bob Monkhouse.
Oh, I can't remember his
catchphrase. You're a fan of his? He was Mr. Quiz, Mr. TV Quiz Show, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was Mr. I've Got a Joke for Everything, wasn't he?
Yeah. And I remember he did, it was like Ken Dodd when he did his An Audience With. It was highly acclaimed, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Everyone said how brilliant it was. And also Thor Ahead.
Oh.
There's a great joke about it, but I can't remember what it is.
It's something about frozen cows.
Yeah. Yeah. She came along and rubbed cows' noses and they all started to thaw. And then she just walked off and the farmer said, oh my God, love, who was that? No, don't you know? That's Thor Ahead.
Thor Ahead.
Thor Ahead.
Oh, she was like me nan.
She was like me nan. Rubbing cows' noses.
Thor Ahead.
Cue the music. I never know whether you've got anything else to say.
Oh, I can never find a button to stop recording. Shitty.